The book of Psalms, chapter 17. I want to read from verse 13. We'll read three verses. I want to use that to introduce something that I will say briefly before I go into the main meat of today's teaching. It said, "Arise, O Lord, confront him, bring him low, deliver my soul from the wicked with thy sword." That is, God should confront those who are rising up against him. It said, "From men with thy hand, O Lord," that is, "use your hand, O Lord, to deliver me from men. From men of the world, whose portion is in this life." Now notice that, that is, "whose belly thou dost fill with thy treasure." That is, they get a lot of good things in life. And he said, "they are satisfied with children, and they leave their abundance to their babes. As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake." Please, I want to read that in again. It said, "God deliver me," as I was saying, if we read verses 13 and 14, "and that there are certain kinds of people on this earth," just listen to this, "and these people seem to prosper more than, maybe more than I am prospering," he was saying, physically. "These people seem to have a lot of good things in life." I don't know how many of you have ever thought like this. A lot of Christians do, and that's based on the teachings that we've been having. "I believe God, I have faith. I don't walk in sin, I walk in righteousness," like Job. Do you understand my point? But then you will stand while believing the Lord. You have been working or doing business for a few years. You has been good, amen? But you don't have all the good things of life you love to have. And then a man passes by, you know him to be a sinner. I mean, he used to come to your school to come and carry all the women. All right? For every naira you earn, he earns 1,000. Are you getting my point? And you ask yourself, say, "God, what is going on?" I mean, one of the fruits of righteousness is prosperity. Because you said concerning Job, I mean, we read the story about Job, that you blessed this man, and he was the greatest of all the men of the East. He had a lot of material resources. Concerning Abraham, you say the same thing, that God blessed him until he became exceedingly great. The same is the testimony of people like Isaac. And you run through it and you see the Bible says that God delights in the prosperity of his servants. Now, the issue now is that, "God, why are you allowing this other man to prosper more than me?" I'm not saying you should put up your hand if you ever thought like that. But do you know people do think like that? Even if it's not you, say amen. Amen. All right. You know that people do think like that. And really, one of the things about life is that you should be sincere. If you do things like that, you should go and pray and ask God and he'll give you an answer. Do you understand my point? And that's one of the things that David was tackling here. He said, now, you notice something, that the fact that a man prospers is not a sign that he's walking in righteousness. You know that? And that's the same thing with Christians also. You know, we can never, it's not possible. You cannot use prosperity, outward prosperity, as a sign of the fact that you are walking in righteousness. You can't do that. All right? Now, but you see, whether we like it or not, there are some things that are still true. I know in the last many years, Christianity in Nigeria has, not only in Nigeria, worldwide, we have emphasized prosperity. And let me tell you something, prosperity is good. Now, are you not feeling more comfortable? If you've been coming here all these weeks and, you know, last many, many months, are you not feeling more comfortable just sitting here today? Yeah, why? Because of prosperity, we're able to cool the air a bit. Now, so, listen. Bishop David Oyedepo said something once. I like to quote him all the time. He said, "I believe in good things because good things are good. You don't pretend about them. They are good." So I'm not saying that the gospel of prosperity is wrong. But of course, too much emphasis on prosperity is absolutely wrong. Do you understand the point? Let me say it again. Too much emphasis on prosperity is most certainly and absolutely wrong. Because it is possible. Now, I'm not saying that's God's plan. All right? People can have trials and adversities in life. In fact, you know, I said something on radio the other day. Let me say it again. I said, when we started learning the word of faith, I believed that for a short while also, but God rapidly delivered me. They say, when you want to take a marriage vow, it is unbelief to say for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. That as a man of faith, you can only get richer and richer. After all, the Bible said the path of the just like the light of dawn shines brighter. Therefore, it is for better, for best, and for richer, for yet richer. In health and in perfect health, and maybe death should never even do us part. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. Listen to me. Let me say it to you clear now. Thank God for your zeal and you want to walk by faith. But that is not righteousness. That's not true. Listen to me. It is a matter. Look, let me say it again. The way to, as a preacher, if I have to administer vow, all the songs that come from America, I won't use it. I will use the original one. I don't know who wrote it, but it makes a lot of sense. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. I have not seen any reason to change it to modern words we use. From today, we shall be one. From today, you know, all those, that to me, that's a long story. You know, I'm sorry to say this, but people rewrite things to suit their own practical experiences. I had an argument with a brother once. I said, listen to me. The word of God is not here to describe your experiences. It's to create experiences for you. Your life has gone in a particular way. Doesn't mean we should change the doctrines of God to fit that. It is a matter of fact that in life, there will be a season in which things will not appear as good as they used to be. And those who wrote those marriage vows were not prophesying hardship upon you. You were making a covenant. Are you getting my point? That like God made with Abraham, even if I were to come and demand your son, you would give him to me. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That is what that vow was saying is simple. I will be in covenant with you no matter what. That's all it means. Do you understand the point I'm making? All right, so I'm just bringing up something here. The gospel of prosperity is good, all right? But we can't lay too much emphasis upon it because as a matter of fact, there will be experiences in life, all right, that will appear as if we don't believe in this gospel really. That is, it's not working as it's supposed to work. It doesn't mean you are in unbelief. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. In fact, one of the ways by which God lifts you from one level to another is to pass you through adversity. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Listen, as a believer, let me say this to you very clearly. As a Christian, if you have problems as a believer, the first thing you do is you return. Now, this is a practical thing. You return inward and pray and ask God, is there anything that I'm doing wrong that's causing this affliction upon me? Because if you don't ask that question, you're a proud person. Because every man's way is right in his own eyes. Are you getting what I'm saying? So for you to have adversity is one of those ways by which God brings correction to you. People say that, no, God uses his word. I know. But when you have refused to hear the word, sometimes it passes you through adversity so as to catch your attention. That is why if you have any troubles in life, you have a problem in the office, problem in your home, business, whatever it is, the first thing you do, you settle down and say, God, teach me that which I do not see, so that if I am doing iniquity, I will not do it anymore. Don't first blame your boss. Don't first blame your wife. Don't first blame your husband. Don't first blame the society. Don't first blame Bernard Madoff, who made away with $50 billion of people's investment money. Don't blame those people first. Ask yourself first, is this possible that there's something I am doing that I'm not supposed to be doing? Is there something that God is trying to get me to understand? That's the first thing you do. Are you getting my point? Now, once you've done that, there's a statement I was trying to make, that adversity and trials in life is one of the key ways by which God moves you up to another level. This is the reason, because God always requires an excuse to bless. And his choice excuse is how people respond to faith in the midst of adversity. Go and see what happened when God said Abraham should sacrifice Isaac. When Abraham went ahead to sacrifice Isaac and God stopped him in the last moment, he said, because of this thing you have done, therefore in blessing I will bless you. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? That is, when God wanted to bless Job double-fold, he allowed Satan to tempt him. When Satan was through with tempting Job, God restored to him double that which he had already had before. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. So please get this point very clear. It is possible for a man of faith to go through trials. It is possible for a man of faith to go through adversity. It is not because he doesn't have faith. Are you following what I'm saying? What I'm saying, I hope it's clear to you. Now, so I read this, all right? That's in Psalm 17, to bring out an issue. That God was explaining to us through David there. That, you see, I said something earlier that, what I would like to know, there are some real things about life. Okay? Now, because we preach prosperity in this present life, we shouldn't forget that there is life after now. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That is, he said, godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise for the life that now is, and that life which is to come. It's a matter of fact, godliness has promise for two levels. First, a life that now is, and the life that is to come. And let me say this to you the way the Bible said it clearly. If an unrighteous man, if a wicked man prospers outwardly, are you getting what I'm saying? The Bible says he's only getting it in this present life. Read that again. Psalm 17. As a famous philosopher, I do not want to mention his name for certain reasons. But he made a statement. He said, if we can understand many a what, all right? If we can understand many a why, we can endure many a what. Do you understand my point? That if we can understand things, it's easier to endure them. Are you getting what I'm saying? If we can understand many a why, we can endure many a what. So that's why I'm explaining this. So David said it in that Psalm 17, in verse 14. He described those men. He said, whose belly thou dost fill with thy treasure, that is, God allowed them to prosper. And they are satisfied with children. They have a lot of children. And they leave their abundance to their babes, that is, their offsprings. Now, what I wanted to read is the earlier part of 14. I just omitted it. He said, from men with thy hand, O God, deliver me. From men of the world whose portion is in this life, that is, in this life only. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, they only have their blessing in this life. Please, let's not be carried away. It is a matter of fact that there is eternity. And even though you were to live long on this earth, you probably live to be 120 years. In this day and age, it's not likely you will do much more than that, 120. You probably wouldn't even want it if God were to grant it to you that you live more than 120. You know why? Most of your friends will be gone. Do you follow my point? But listen, that's less than a drop in the ocean if you compare that with eternity. Therefore, David emphasized it, that there are people who appear blessed outside. He said, but their own portion is only in this life. Do you understand my point? Do you understand my point? Jesus told the disciples, he said, I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm just going to go and prepare a place for you. He said, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. He said, if it wasn't so, I would not have told you. That is, I won't lie to you. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, as a matter of fact, this life is very temporal, and therefore we should not be fixated on things that only endure for a lifetime. But that's just by the way. What's my main message? My main message from that is verse 15. David said, unlike those who have their things in this present life only, as for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake. Are you getting the point? I will be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake. Now, I said something to us last time. We're talking about the life of purpose. And let me say it again. I said God has a threefold purpose concerning your life. I said there is number one, the most important one of the lot is what he wants to do where? In you. Say it loud. Say in me. What God wants to do inside you is what is most important. That is number one. The second one is that which he wants to do through you. First in the world, in the church, and second in the world. But let's just summarize the two into what he wants to do through you. Unfortunately, a lot of people, most of us, emphasize first that which he wants to do through us. But with God, that is secondary. What is first is that which he wants to do where? Inside us. And let me summarize it like this. We discussed that when we're talking about the bride of Christ. All right? We discussed that when we're talking about the image of Christ. I discussed those things in detail. I just want to bring them up to our minds again. The number one thing that God wants to do in you is to form the image of Christ in you. Did you hear what I said? That the number one thing he wants to do in you is to do what? Form the image of Christ in you. Read that thing again. That's Psalm 17. The other night I stayed up and I was studying it. And I realized that that's what David was saying. He said, I will be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake. Now listen to that. That is, I might go through trials, I might go through adversity. But when I finish going through anything that I'm going through, the satisfaction will be that the image of Christ has been developed in me. I hope you are getting what I'm explaining. You know, the other day, all right, I think I told you the story before. I was on the road. Okay, I was in somebody's office. And this convoy of cars passed. All right? Now, the one in the middle was a Rolls Royce. Now, let me tell you the fact. That car, if you buy it from UK, you pay about 250,000, I think, pounds or dollars. Pounds. 250,000 pounds. Now, Please don't do too much arithmetic so that you don't get a headache. All right? 250,000 what? Pounds. I saw it on TV. You know, they were analyzing it and everything. You know, when they were making the car, I laughed. You know why I laughed? You know, they said that there's economic downturn, all right? The people said, the Rolls-Royce makers said that, look, they're about to double their shifts that they, to keep up with demand. They are increasing the shift from 1 to 2. That for them, there's nothing like downturn. People are getting richer. People are buying more. And in fact, I read somewhere the other day, say economic downturn. I said, what happened was that the rich stole trillions from the poor. Therefore, the middle class and the poor became poorer. And certain rich people became richer. That's why they are still buying Rolls Royces. £250,000 for one. Anyway, the car passed. And I thought it was the governor. I've seen it before. I thought it was the governor. I said, no, it's not governor. It's one man. It's one business tycoon from Lagos. It's from this area, though. And that you see that convoy, he has them stationed in different places. He has an identical set like that in Lagos, and an identical set like that in Abuja. So he doesn't have to move the cars across the country. He just flies across the country. Now when he's coming down to Enugu, he just charters a flight and he arrives. All right, but that night he has stopped chartering flights. He has bought a Lear. He just bought a Lear jet. So when the car passed, I said to Rockelator, I said, God, we have to see. No, you don't get what I'm saying. I said, Baba God, we have to talk. The car in the middle alone, you know what it costs. Yet, see the headache I went through because I didn't buy a correct generator for people to start before I come. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. Now, for me, it was half a joke, all right? It was partly a joke, but I want to use it because a lot of people reason like that. You sit at home and begin to wonder, what is going on? That's why I tell people, stop preaching the gospel of poverty. Praise God. I sowed a seed of 50 naira. Now I have a new pair of shoes. You know, they are kind of gospels you preach. You can't reach some people. They say, that's all your God can do. Provide two, two shoes, a pair of shoes. Then I don't need him. Then I have better things to worry about. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Be very careful that you don't entrench yourself in that gospel of poverty. Always, focusing on, I gave 500 naira. And praise God, today I have 10,000. Listen, 10,000 naira is small money. Not to me, I mean to God. $100 million is small money. Not to me, but to who? To God. There's no amount of money you can conceive that's not small to the Lord. None. That God is saying something. Banky, yes, I could give you the cost of that Rolls Royce. But what will I have done for you? You think it will make you more comfortable? Believe me, I, the Lord, I'm telling you, no, it will not. You think it will make you advance this gospel more? Nothing can hinder the advance of my gospel. If the proper gospel is preached in its appropriate time, it will move to where I want it to move. It is not lack of money that's the reason why the gospel is not advancing. God will tell you which money the Paul and Co. have, that they filled the whole of Asia Minor in 2 years with their doctrine. Which money? They did not even have the technology that you have now. The only way they could spread that word was mouth to mouth and by letters. Now you can print 10,000 tracts in 5 minutes. Do you get my point? You can go on radio and broadcast and millions of people will hear at a time. But do you think you are getting greater results than Paul and Co. did then? No, you are not. Because the power of the gospel is not technology. The power of the gospel is not money. Are you getting my point? Indeed, the gospel itself is what? Power. He said it is the power of God unto salvation. The reason why our gospel is hindered, listen, it is because it's not pure. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. The reason why it is hindered is because it's not pure. If it is pure, it cannot be hindered. If the gospel is refined, it cannot be hindered. If the refined gospel is carried by refined people, it cannot be hindered. Listen, outward things are a reflection of the inward development of the soul. Are you getting my point? Listen, outward things, I said, they are what? A result of the inward development of the soul. That is why no matter how rich you are, okay? You cannot preach the gospel more effectively than a man that is poor if you don't have the correct gospel. I don't know whether I get my point. You've heard me say this before. The fact that you are rich, we see it a lot. That's the reason why I'm doing this series. A man is very, very rich. For the first 50 years of his life, he didn't know God. Now he's rich. When you count his money in dollars, it's probably worth over $200 million. Then he gives his life to Christ. And somebody lied to him that now you have to do the work of God. What does it mean? You have to start preaching. So the man becomes a preacher. Because he has money, he can fund anything he wants to say. He puts it on air. All he reaps is scandals and problems. Listen, there's a prayer I prayed before. And I'm so happy that I'm seeing the manifestation of it. No, I'm already experiencing it. And it's increasing every day. I always used to say, God, don't bless me so much that I will use my money to propagate this gospel that you have sent me to go and preach. People have said that I will have a lot of money and then I will be able to preach effectively. My own prayer was that, God, no. I want to be blessed. I want good things in life. I'm a man with a large heart. Go and ask my mother. That is, he said, I've never liked things small. People like sports cars. Ask those who know me. Banky doesn't understand why people drive small sports cars. You know my problem? The car is too short. That's all. I like my things large. I like to live in a very big house. I know the house that God will bless me with over the next many years, when my children begin to grow and become adults. I can describe it to you now. How do I know? Because that's how I like it. It will be on such a massive amount of land that when my children want to give address to their friends, they say, when you enter our compound, my own apartment is on drive A, inside our compound. I'm not explaining to you. So don't think I'm one who believe what does a man want in this life. I know what I want. I don't know what you want. Do you get what I'm saying? But what I'm trying to say is that, but I felt that God, one of the ways I will know I'm preaching the truth is that the gospel is prospering. It's moving, and not because I have money. Are you getting my point? And I thank God that today, when we started Kingdom World, 99% of the money spent was spent just in my family, that is, between my wife and I. All the money we spent in Kingdom World was money we had. But today that proportion has dropped to, it's very, very low now. Maybe less than 15% of the money that Kingdom World spent, or let's say 20, comes from our family as our own offering towards the gospel that we are preaching. I give more outside to other gospels being preached. You get my point? To other mission work and charity work than I give to Kingdom World Ministries. Now, don't get my point. I'm not saying I don't. Are you following my point? But I'm going to bring out an issue. That from the beginning, I said, God, no, this thing has power in itself. And it should work on those who I'm preaching to, not just on me. And if indeed it's working of them, I will know by how much they are cooperating. Do you get what I'm saying? To push the gospel forward. That's why I was willing to wait until an appropriate time. Because you see, you can't rush God. You can't. I'm answering a particular question that I was just kind of jokingly asking myself. So God said, Banky, when the time comes to give you £250,000 to preach the gospel, don't worry. The money will be there waiting. If it is time to believe God now for an old diesel generator to power your air conditioners, go ahead and do it. You know why I'm saying so? Because David said, as for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake. You've heard the story before of the young boy who saw a butterfly, all right, coming out of the pupa, all right? So the thing was struggling and struggling. So he said, let me help this small butterfly that's metamorphosizing. So he took a small knife and opened the thing and allowed the butterfly to come out easily. And shortly after the butterfly came out, it died. That the young man didn't understand that part of the development of that butterfly was the squeezing process. Do you follow the point? That the squeezing process was part of the development of the butterfly. Oh, as God said in effect. And that's what David was explaining to us here. That listen, if I give you more than you need, at the time that you ask for it, it will kill you, it won't bless you. Are you getting my point? That the thing I'm really going out after in your life, that perfect image of Christ, will never be developed. Yes, you have a story to tell in this life only. You will have become amongst those who their portion is what? In this life alone. And that's not what I want to do. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. So David said, as for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake. That is, when I come out of my troubles, I won't analyze this in detail because we're going somewhere else. When he talked about being asleep, he was talking about when you go into troubles and tribulations. And the life of Jesus is our example. That is, when he went into death on the cross, that was when he went into sleep. Are you getting my point? He now said he came forth in a particular likeness at the resurrection. And that's how the life of every believer is. Every adversity you go through is a kind of sleep or death. Do you get my point? But he said, what is God going after? The resurrection that you will experience in the midst of your troubles. That's why I've said, you want to kill a business, a young man comes to you and says that, I have a great business idea. You don't want the man to prosper, give him a lot of money. That's how the man won't prosper. You do what? You give him a lot of money. He will waste the money. Because part of success in business is that you grill the money. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Did you hear what I said? That you grill the money. That they gave them a seed. Everything that God gives you is a seed. And let me tell you, that's why there's, if anybody says, hey, business day, no capital, tell the person you are lying, there's no business. Let me say it again. If your friend comes to you and says, many get business ideas, no capital, don't answer him first time. He comes back 6 months later, he's still not doing anything. He said, business day, no capital, don't say anything. 6 months after, he tells the same thing, say, oh boy, you have lied to me now for one full year. When are you going to start telling yourself the truth? That indeed, if you had ideas, 2 naira is enough to start. Now, you don't have to have 1 million. You have 5,000. You start from there. I'm not saying you don't need any money at all. Actually, you don't. But let's say that you need a small amount. Do you get what I'm saying? You are supposed to grow it. If I gave you 100, look, have you ever asked yourself, you know, the other day, my friend and I were discussing, a senior friend to me, about the issues in the nation. And he will say that, look, if to solve this kind of problem in Enugu, as an example, it will cost about 100 million naira. I don't mean charity money. I mean business money. That somebody will invest in this kind of business. He will bless a lot of people. Are you getting my point? And then he will reap a lot of reward and grow his money. So after we talked like that for a while, I said, how come you all yourself know? You have seen touts in Enugu buy one hammer after the other. You have seen it. Have you not? You've seen a guy poor today, tomorrow he starts driving the kind of car you don't understand because he became a politician. You have seen Nigerians make money overnight. So I asked my friend, I said, we were discussing actually. I said, all these our big men, these our rich men that roam around town, why don't they do these things? Nobody will ask them. Right now they are blowing money anyhow, we are not asking them. If they did something good with the money, we will ask them even less. Do you understand my point? Then as I asked the question, even me, I gave the answer. I said, because they didn't gather by labor, so they don't understand the value of the money. I don't know whether I get the point. It is when you just woke up one day and suddenly made money. That's when you will chase a girl that's your 17th girlfriend with a brand new Honda Accord on a weekend. You're obviously mad. You know you're mental. You didn't work for the money. That is why a lot of young women run to Abuja. Just rub shoulders with politicians. Because though some of them are so crazy, I mean, because they want a girl to follow them to the, for weekend, they are going to somewhere in Europe, they can give her a brand new Honda Accord. If a man does that, it's obvious he didn't make money through a godly means because he doesn't understand the value of it. Are you getting my point? Yes. He didn't gather by labor. Therefore, he doesn't understand the value. But if God, listen, there are things that some men won't do, even though they are not godly the way you think. But because God allowed their business to grow the normal and godly way, they won't give anybody 6 million naira because they want you to follow them for the weekend, except they're on assignment from Satan to corrupt somebody. Do you follow the point I'm making? Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. What was I saying? That through that experience, I said, I just smiled to myself that day, that God was saying, in effect, that the day you need 250,000 pounds, it's waiting. And let me give you somebody else's testimony. My pastor began to go on TV. That was a few years ago. And then one day decided to spread his gospel to UK on air. The first one cost them a lot of money. They gathered all the money they had and paid from Nigeria, paid for airtime on TV in Europe. And believe me, that was the last they paid. After that, people that knew him from time, who now live in UK, say, this man is on air here, and he's a blessing to us. So they said, sir, all we need for you to do is send us the material. We'll make sure it's on air. So amongst themselves, they gather money and pay for airtime. All he needs to do is what? Send the tapes. What's God saying in effect? The 250,000 pounds he needed was there by the time he arrived to use it. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Let me tell you something again. Number one thing that God is doing in your life is building the character of Christ. And listen to this, even in the midst of your lack. So please stop wondering, how come somebody has 100 million? He's not sharing with everybody. Don't worry about other people. It's none of your business. There are monies they will give you, you won't develop properly again. You know that? Yes. There are certain kinds of prosperity you are praying for. God said, if I grant you, oh boy, you won't develop properly. I will grant it to you, but not now. Reach the point of development. Do you get what I'm saying? In which you'll be able to assimilate and utilize that degree of prosperity. What am I saying? Number one thing that God is doing in your life, that's what David said. As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied with the transformation into the likeness of the image of Christ when I'm through with going through my difficulty, when I'm through with going through my adversity, when I'm through with going through my lack. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, let me testify personally as a preacher and the one who sat over the organization called Kingdom World Ministries. We have never lacked. Now, listen. You say, Pastor Manke, if you're never lacked, how come we didn't have AC all this while? I didn't say we had AC all the while. Did I say so? Was that what I said? I said we have never what? Lacked. At the appropriate time, each thing manifested. The time you didn't see it was because the time was not ripe. That's the point I'm making. Do you get my point? I don't dare to say that again because that's the most important thing. And you must never be discouraged in life. Listen, in everything, God is fine-tuning you. Listen, let me say it again. There's no witch worrying you. They don't have any power to do that. There's no ancestral curse pushing you about except you are still walking in sin. Please, I hope you follow what I'm saying. Let me say it loud and clear again. There is no witch worrying you except you are a career sinner. You have refused to stop lying. You have refused to stop cheating. You have refused to stop following other people's husbands or wives, if that's the case. Every business you do that is never straight. So this is the original one. Even as you are saying it, your soul, you know, some people's souls are confused. Your soul knows what you are saying is not true. But your mouth is uttering that, you understand, which you claim to be true. So there's a confusion. Look, listen. If you don't want to ever go crazy in your life, a number of things you should never do. Number one, don't steal. Number two, please avoid sexual immorality. I'm telling you the truth. Number three, don't tell lies. If you don't do those three things, I don't care whether your father is mental and your mother is crazy. So all the, and your uncles are all not abnormal people. You will not become mental. Because confusion of soul is what worries a lot of people. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That is, their souls are confused. So when he says good morning, the soul says, Nala, it must be night. So when he says, my friend, how are you? The soul tells him he's an enemy. Because your mouth never says what is true. Then they say the guy has schizophrenia. Why won't he have schizophrenia? I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Leave all the witches alone. Let nobody take your money because they want to go and park the sand in your father's compound. Where would they carry you to? Let me say it again. If the witch wants to live in a tree, you should be kind and let the witch stay in a tree. Even Jesus allowed the devils to stay inside pig. So when he wanted to deliver a human being, they said, let's enter into pig. What did he say? Okay, go ahead. The witches in your village said that they want to stay in a tree and you are still driving them. You are a wicked soul. If they want to stay in a tree, more grace to them. All you need to do, command them. In the name of Jesus, you must never come from the tree. This tree is your boundary. Don't go beyond that. They now tell that the man is in Lagos. His business is not doing well. Why? Because there are trees in his father's village that are inhabited by witches. So they need to go and drive the witches away. They forget that the money he collected from his neighbor, he came and reported that armed robbers took it. Meanwhile, the money, he used it to buy shipment last time he traveled. So Satan said, that is where I am. You can't cast me out of this business. Two of us own it. How can you cast me out of a business that both of us own? You know, it's like he come to me and say, Pastor Banky, please, bring 20,000. I put 20,000 and two of us will do business. And I say, okay. After some time, start praying against me. Go away in Jesus' name. I say, from where? half of that business is my own. So when you are doing business with Satan, why should you... Look, don't be crazy, my friend. You can't cast him out. How do you do business with Satan? Bow to me, and I will give you all the treasures of this earth. So once you are bowing to Satan in your everyday activity, that's how you are doing business with him. I hope what I'm saying is clear to you. I hope it is clear to you. All right, so let's continue. The book of Romans chapter 12. I said all of that to emphasize the issue of, number one thing that God is doing in your life, he's doing it inside you. But I said what we have been trying to get into, is exactly what is it that God is doing through us on the earth. Don't forget, number one, he's doing something in you. Then the second thing is that he's doing something through you. And we said there are two parts to that. There's what he's doing through you in the body of Christ, and there's what he's doing through you on the surface of the earth. The book of Romans chapter 12 again, verse 3. It says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly." Today I made sure I came with my New American Standard because I wanted to read this thing properly. Please let me read verse 6 again. And please, if your Bible is not a New American Standard, then lift up your eyes and look at me. I want to read it to you from my Bible. It said, "And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise those gifts accordingly." It said, if in prophecy, that is, if your gift is the ability to prophesy, then exercise that gift to the proportion of your faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then look at the Bible now, verse 7. It said, if service, exercise your gift, listen to this, in proportion to your faith in your serving. Do you get the point? If your gift is in teaching, it says he who teaches should exercise his gift of teaching in accordance to his faith in teaching. Do you get what I'm going to explain? That is, there is a gift you have, and this is what God wants to do in you or through you once he has done something in you. He wants to bless people through the gift that you have. And at each particular point in time, there's a particular degree of grace that flows through you, grace, all right, that's flowing through your hands, and that is in proportion to the amount of faith that you have concerning that thing. And when we're talking about faith, let me put this in simple words. We're talking about the confident ability with which you handle something. I remember many years ago, there was a celebrated plastic surgeon. There was a documentary about him, it was on TV. And I remember that they filmed one of the episodes in which he was, one of the theater sessions in which he was operating. And he wanted to correct the nose of a man that had a bent nose. I still remember that the man, he was talking to the reporter, talking casually, took a particular kind of instrument, you know, after cutting and cutting, stuck it into the man's nose, cut, and the man's nose fell off. And he continued talking like nothing was happening. And I thought to myself, this man is not serious, he's going to put that thing back. And believe me, he was going to put it back. He was not in doubt that he would put it back. Now, please get my point. He wasn't in doubt that by the time he's through, do you understand my point? This man's nose will be straight. But in my childish mind, like, no, you can't remove a man's nose. That is, I didn't have the faith. That's what I'm trying to explain. Neither did I have the grace, but he had it. Now, the man, no matter how much he tries, I'm a doctor now, I'm a specialist too. I may not be a surgeon of his type, but I know some things that are not possible. Now, no matter how much he tries, he will not remove a man's head and plan to put it back. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. Now, this is a matter of fact. A lot of people, you know what they're trying to do? They say, if that man can remove a nose, why not me too? So they remove somebody's nose and he never joins back again. Or they say, after I'm bigger than him, I'm more experienced than him, therefore, I shall remove a head. And next thing that happens is that they carry him and put him in jail